What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Yesterday, the Board of Supervisors approved unanimously to create ice-free zones in the county of Alameda. Joining us to discuss is Board Supervisor Nikki Fortunato Bass. Good morning, Supervisor Bass.
Good morning. Great to be here.
So glad that we haven't been on here in a little bit.
It's good been a minute.
It's been a minute. Supervisor Bass, talk about the impetus for you for ice-free zones. We've seen them, but for you, where does it come from?
So for me, it's just been outrageous to see the lawless violence that is happening, not only in Minnesota, but across the country. This started in LA, then Chicago, then Portland. We had the surge in October. So this started because I wanted to make sure that we're prepared, that we can keep our community safe. And so back in October, when there was the surge at Coast Guard Island with ICE and Border Patrol, it was subsequently called off. But as that was happening, I wanted to make sure we were ready. And I looked to Santa Clara County. They had drafted a response plan and ice-free zone policy. The mayor of Chicago did the ice-free zone policy by executive order. So learning from what our comrades are doing across the country, developed the policies back in October. We vetted them through committee twice. And I'm really proud to say that on Tuesday, the board is standing on the right side of justice by passing these policies.
Tuesday, not yesterday. And yes, unanimously.
Yes.
You know, when you and I first spoke about you going over there, I had some concerns about what one lone progressive was going to be able to get done on that board. And you've been moving some pretty important stuff. So specifically for the people, what does the resolution say?
So there's two pieces. One is an immigration enforcement response plan. And so back in October, I heard from our staff that the health agency was getting prepared to make sure people could access health services. Social services was doing the same thing. But this is about having a coordinated, integrated countywide plan to ensure our residents can access our services without fear. So it means having a unified system of training so people know their rights as staff and as security, making sure we have communications protocol if we think that ICE might be on our county property, having a protocol for that, as well as making sure that there's a full-on response plan to ensure the safety of folks, not only who work for the county, but who are trying to access our services. So that's about being prepared. And the second piece is the county policy for ice-free zones. And similar to what other jurisdictions have done, we cannot allow ICE to conduct staging, processing, other operations for these mass deportation agendas that we are clearly violating our Constitution. So with this policy, we are going to conduct an inventory of any vacant lots, parking lots, garages that could be used for this type of massive ICE mobilization. We'll make sure that there's clear signage it can't be used and commandeered by ICE and Border Patrol, and develop a process such that if any of that activity happens, we'll be able to tell ICE it's a no-go, they have to cease and desist, and we'll sue them if we have to.
You know where I'm going to go. I'm sure you know me well enough to know where I'm going to go. They have to, I'm going to use your words, Supervisor and Councilman. The lawless behavior of these people, many of whom have been accurately identified as members of white supremacist groups like the Proud Boys. There was a reporter that went through the process and was hired. It was a 6-minute interview and she was hired a couple days after that, said she'd had a background check. She hadn't. So my point is, right, these are people, not all of them are actually law enforcement trained. Not that that's
exactly
boded well for black and brown people, period. But a lot of these people are just sort of rogue white folks that want America back the way it used to be. And so we've seen them ignore, right, the free zones. We've seen them say, I don't care what you say, we're the federal government, we're going to do what we're going to do. And I know that you probably can't share everything, but I'm just wondering, like, what happens when that happens? So you pointed out the fact that they came there for a day and a half, there was pushback, they left. What I've been saying as an organizer, right, a lot of people was popping their collars, like, look what the Bay did. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. When they come back, as Trump says, I am your retribution, and they are coming with that retribution, is the county preparing for that kind of engagement?
That's the whole purpose of the response plan paired with the ice-free zones. You know, I wanted to make sure that the board as a whole is telling our administration, our sheriff, everyone who needs to engage in a potential ICE escalation, that we're going to be prepared. And not only that, this is part of a regional effort. You know, we know that there's strength in numbers, whether it is people on the streets protesting or our government standing up and saying no to this fascist regime. So Santa Clara passed these policies. I led the effort to pass the policies in Alameda County. Next week, the city and county of San Francisco are looking at this. Yeah. Like, we're working together as a region, as county supervisors, to be aligned and make sure that this administration knows if they come here, we are going to do everything within our legal power to ensure they're not violating people's rights, the Constitution, our laws. We know it's going to be dangerous because they are lawless. But this is our responsibility as electeds to say, we're going to do what we can to not tolerate this. And Kat, you and I know that the people will keep us safe. That's what we're seeing. You know, ICE was in my district in West Oakland at a school. There is an amazing effort of volunteer community patrols, and within a matter, you know, a short amount of time, 300 people came to ensure our kids could get safely dropped off to school and picked up. And so it's going to be an effort of people organizing, and we're seeing that. We're seeing the resistance and the organizing in an incredible way, coupled with government and people like me pushing on the inside to make sure we're protecting people's rights.
I agree, right? One of the things I've been talking about Minnesota that I hope the Bay takes a note from is people are fighting in a bunch of different ways without the infighting or the calling out of disagreement of strategy, right? So the electeds are doing what they can do. Listen, the anarchists are doing what they can do. The moms are doing what they can do. Folks like me are doing what they, right? Everybody is doing what they can and what they need to and what they believe is the right thing to do. And this is really an all roads in moment. You mentioned the sheriff, and I've been, you know, cocking my head to the side looking at her for a hot minute because they have been receiving funding from the federal government through the state criminal alien assistance program, which is partly managed by ICE, and it reimburses local jurisdictions for the cost of detaining undocumented people. I'm reading from Oakland Side. In 2024, the sheriff's office received over $1 million in exchange for sharing sensitive personal information, including names, birthplaces, and countries of origin. Now, someone had asked me to sit on a panel with Yesenia. A, I don't do that. But B, I was like, I'm really not doing this about ICE. I said, I'm really not doing that while they're receiving funds from ICE to help ICE do their job. Sanchez said at your meeting that they're going to stop doing that. Does the board have the ability to hold her accountable to the ending of that practice?
We absolutely do. You know, I talked with her privately. It came up at our committee meeting earlier this month, came up on Tuesday, as you said. So she, as I understand it, didn't renew the contract, is committed to ending it. And, you know, just hearing the discussion from some of my colleagues, I think that there are three votes to make sure that we don't continue that contract, that we identify funding for the legitimate services that we want to continue. So I will make sure that we do not renew that program. It's very concerning.
Right on. Supervisor Bass, are there resources, phone numbers, et cetera, places you want to tell people to go look, you know, that are county and community approved?
Absolutely. I want to let you all know that, there's a legacy at the county for protecting immigrant rights from the first Trump administration. The late Supervisor Richard Valle, together with the late Supervisor Wilma Chan, they put together a whole framework and a set of recommendations to increase services and protections to our immigrant and refugee community. And when I came in, I worked to make sure that we followed through on that. So the county has allocated $7.5 million so that we are building an infrastructure that includes funding a CLIP, Alameda County's Rapid Response Hotline, which can help verify ICE activity. That number is 510-241-4011. We're also funding legal services and deportation defense through our public defender's office, Brendan Woods. I call him the
best. Hey, we love Brendan. We love you.
Best public defender in the country. He's got an amazing immigration unit. And pushing back because ICE has actually arrested six people in or near our courthouses. In addition to funding our public defender, we're funding Accord. So there's a set of legal services available for if you're detained or in deportation proceedings. And then we're also funding ACUDIR, which is anchored by Trabajadores Unidos, Workers United, and they are doing community education, organizing at workplaces with businesses in the community, know your rights trainings, and mutual aid. So that's sort of what we're building. In addition to that, we have set aside some funding to start developing an Office of Immigrant and Refugee Affairs. Other counties have this. We don't yet. So we're really trying to build up our infrastructure so that we can truly be a county where everyone belongs.
All right, Supervisor Bass, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Thank you for your work. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.